What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind.
October 26, 2001. In Washington, President George W. Bush signs the USA Patriot Act more than a month after the September 11th attacks. The act gives federal authorities unprecedented ability to search, seize, detain, or eavesdrop in their pursuit of possible terrorists.
It will help law enforcement to identify, to dismantle, to disrupt, and to punish terrorists.
Verizon turning over records to the government if the government's going to make sure that they try to match up a known terrorist with somebody in the United States. I don't think you're talking to terrorists. I know you're not.
There's not an expectation of privacy. Anyone can look at you, can see you, can watch what you're doing. A camera just makes it more sophisticated, but it's no different from, you know, your neighbor looking out the window at you or a police officer looking at you walking down the street. So I think we do need more cameras. We have to stay ahead of the terrorists. And I do know in New York, the Lower Manhattan Security Initiative, which is based on cameras, the outstanding work that results from that. So, yes, I do favor more cameras. Again, I would look at the fact that you have two administrations, whether it's George Bush or Dick Cheney or President Obama, or whether it's Attorney General Mukasey under the Republicans, whether it's John Brennan, CIA Director, under the Democrats.
Grant
the fact
Hall,
is,
for example,
they all believe it
who,
is.
Who believes this is a real violation, though, of the privacy rights of the American people?
Well, I would say there's no program where the privacy rights are more protected. It's monitored on a regular basis, systematic basis, by the courts. It's monitored by the Justice Department and by two committees in Congress. And again, with all of the millions of papers that are out there, millions of documents that Snowden has released, and all the so-called exposés, no one has been able to show any abuse of anyone's rights, nothing can be used for political purposes. And to me, if you go to almost any law enforcement or government agency, you're going to find some violation
somebody in his own home.
Rights.
Well,
using
look,
that.
It's the world we live in. It's the world we live in. You don't like it, but everything I say, I expect to be recorded. And that's just the way we live, Dan. I mean, it's something you got to accept. I don't particularly like it. But it is what it is. You know, 53% of the American people in a poll believe that their telephone conversations are being listened to.
Are they?
No. No, but there have been abuses of this system, and young people particularly are not happy. We've forgotten a little bit about 9/11 and how if we'd intercepted the right communications, we might have prevented 9/11. But anyway, it is what it is.
A total look at a broad sweep of history, it visually depicts a pattern that's seen over and over again in the lives of nations and people groups. Here's that cycle. Nations or people groups tend to go from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to courage, from courage to strength, from strength to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to leisure, from leisure to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, from dependency to weakness, and back to bondage.
Problem, reaction, solution. It's a mind manipulation technique that avoids not only opposition to what is the goal of the manipulators, it actually manipulates people to demand they do what they want to do anyway. You start by secretly creating a problem in the world. You then use the media, which isn't difficult, to wind up public opinion in relation to your manufactured problem to the point where public opinion utters the classic words, "Something must be done. This can't go on. What are they going to do about it?" And at that point, those who created the problem and got someone else to be blamed for it wound up that public reaction, then openly in the public arena, in the parliaments of the world, in the newspapers and on the television, offer the solutions to the problems they have created.
Heavy physical work, the care of home and children, petty quarrels with neighbors, films, football, beer, and above all, gambling filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult. A few agents of the Thought Police moved always among them, spreading false rumors and marking down and eliminating the few individuals.
The crawling chaos zone. That's why the light died. comes. Do you hear the thunder? America is the empire of chaos. The old republic suffered a silent coup while the people were comfortable, entertained, and distracted. Willing victims of mass psychological manipulation from Madison Avenue, thinking we make choices when in fact the corporatist machine tells us what to consume, for whom to vote, what to believe, and whom to fear. An invisible game of political theater lulls us into a soft despotism under the guise of democracy, when in fact we suffer an oligarchy and think we want the dastardly policies manufactured on K Street. Now and then, a gut feeling troubles us. Something is wrong. Our national government's policies seem contradictory, incompetent, and often dangerous. Rather than doing something about it, we accept their slick con as they explain it away or distract us, or even worse, they make us think we actually like these policies. If we don't accept their machinations, we comfort ourselves with our precious votes, votes that mean little or even less. In this land of confusion, we have an entrenched duopoly. Whether you pick the blue team or the red team, the end result is the same, although some of the rhetoric and emphasis changes. After decades of voting the bums out and changing colors, we still have endless war games, monopoly money, and a wide array of choices, so long as we choose to stay within the narrow confines of the false left-right paradigm. Caught in the chaos of an ever-leftward drift from liberty to tyranny, there is little resistance, as the path is paved with bread and circuses. Is our happy servitude in this scientific dictatorship inevitable? A massive paradigm shift is occurring. The masters of the New World Order hide in plain sight and obfuscate their true intentions with skillful propaganda. They are being challenged by countries outside of their web of control and by increasing numbers of Americans who've grown tired of the deceit. We cannot know what liberty we've lost if we prefer the, quote, comfort of self-inflicted tyranny, born of fear, lack of courage, and psychological manipulation. Be the restoration of ordered liberty in the midst of this empire of chaos, or suffer the consequences of your passivity, apathy, or worse, complicity. A global financial battle ensues, and it appears that the East and the South, led by Russia and China, are mounting an economic paradigm shift, yet most Americans have never heard of BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And most Americans are still under the impression that the Federal Reserve is an agency of the Treasury. Unless a massive paradigm shift occurs in the hearts and minds of Americans, the money masters at the Federal Reserve and the neocon warmongers in D.C. will lead us into currency, economic, and hot wars, including terrorism, false flags, and even nuclear strikes. You had better be thundering for liberty. We were warned over 50 years ago. Will America listen? We're not making this up. Listen to President Eisenhower, General Clark, and former CIA counterterrorist Michael Scheuer.
The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Off his desk, he said, I just got this memo from the Secretary of Defense's office that says we're going to attack and destroy the governments in seven countries in 5 years. We're going to start with Iraq, and then we're going to move to Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. I said, seven countries in 5 years.
Well, sticking our nose where it doesn't belong, Gary, is what's happened so far. You know, if you step back and look at what's going on in Syria, everybody who America identifies as its enemies are killing each other at the moment. We dislike Syria, we dislike Iran, and we dislike Hezbollah. Al-Qaeda and the resistance are killing them. We dislike Al-Qaeda, and Hezbollah, Syria, and Iran are killing them. So in many ways, we have the best of both all worlds in Syria, and now we're going to stick our nose in it to support people who will be far worse than Assad.
Now, some would say let them kill each other. If both of the sides are not friendly to the United States, why is the United States insisting to stick our nose in the situation?
I think for a couple of reasons, mostly because we're owned by foreign governments. The reason that Obama delayed a week was to allow the Israeli lobby in this country to go around the country and lobby the congressmen. I don't think they can change the opinion of the American people in a week, but they have so much influence with the Congress because of campaign contributions, because of the threat of using the media against them, that they probably can swing a majority to vote in favor of the war. On the other side, the Saudis, who are highly invested in the United States economically, both in our debt and in property, have probably been ringing off the wall at various arms makers in the United States to order aircraft and other weaponry. And those arms makers, in turn, use their lobbyists to press the Congress. So between those two foreign interests who have ungodly influence with the government, they just might work a deal that makes the Congress support the president in this useless endeavor.
Obviously in positions of influence and are well-placed throughout our government and the media. The neoconservatives, a name they gave themselves, diligently worked their way into positions of power and influence. Above all else, they were not and are not conservatives dedicated to limited constitutional government. More recently, the modern-day neocons have come from the far left, a group historically identified as former Trotskyites. The money and views of Rupert Murdoch also played a key role in promoting the neocon views, as well as rallying support by the general population through his News Corporation, which owns Fox News Network, the New York Post, and Weekly Standard. This powerful and influential media empire did more to galvanize public support for the Iraqi invasion than one might imagine. This facilitated the Rumsfeld-Cheney policy as their plans to attack Iraq came to fruition. It would have been difficult for the neocons to usurp foreign policy for restraints of Colin Powell's State Department without the successful agitation of the Rupert Murdoch empire. Max Boot was satisfied as he explained, quote, neoconservatives believe in using American might to promote American ideals abroad, close quote. This attitude is a far cry from the advice of the founders who advocated no entangling alliances and neutrality as the proper goal of American foreign policy.
Headlines will read, Dollar Run, Dollar Collapse, The End of the Dollar. You see, like all fiat currencies, inevitably the dollar will return to its inherent value of zero. Government education has conditioned the population to believe that inflation is a phenomenon, a normal consequence of living in a modern economy. However, this is not true. Inflation, by definition, is an increase in the currency supply. This increase is a direct result of central banks. Central banks act as a cartel for the big banks. Much like OPEC represents oil-producing nations, the Federal Reserve represents large banks like JP Morgan, Bank of America, and HSBC. This banking cartel, partnered with the US government, has created an unsustainable situation where trillions are created to bail out banks. Interest rates are suppressed, causing massive imbalances in our economy, and price inflation is underreported. The end is near.
See your papers? I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'll have to ask you to come along.
Wait, it's possible that yes. Here they are.
These papers expired 3 weeks ago. You have to come along.
Halt! Halt!
Get ready, brace yourself. States. They existed from the early 1600s in the colonies through the independent states after 1776, and then they were incorporated in the Constitution, and actually as well in the Bill of Rights. It's interesting that that's really the only area in which the Bill of Rights overlaps the Constitution with specificity, because you have the militia discussed in the Constitution, and then of course you have the militia discussed in the Second Amendment. Now, what were these things? If you look in the Constitution, you'll see the term militia of the several states, a militia, a well-regulated. Then we go to 1903, which was the beginning of the National Guard structure, which was set up really in an attempt to supplant the militia, because it had been determined at the turn of that century, turn of the 20th century, that as a legal matter, the militia could not be called up to fight in foreign wars. The Constitution only allows them to be called up to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions, and foreign wars don't fall into any one of those three categories. So,
imagine a time when the White House is once again occupied by a friend of liberty. And you may think I'm talking about electing Republicans. I'm not. I'm talking about electing lovers of liberty.
War is unfortunately often necessary, and we must always be prepared to win wars. However, when war is being used to crush liberty at home, and the perpetrators use our nation to further foreign agendas abroad, nothing good will occur. Yet most Americans are so uninformed and ill-informed that we cheer our own enslavement and the execution of imperialist wars. Without a massive paradigm shift in our awareness, attitude, and resolve, we will become nothing more than an economic third world police state in a multipolar world plagued by perpetual war and tyranny. Some will wait to see what happens. Others will be wondering what happened. If you're listening to Liberty's Thunder, you're one of the few who is willing to take action and influence what is about to happen. America is on the verge of fading away, not with a bang, but with a whimper. Sure, it will look normal. The stars and stripes will still fly, barbecues and ball games. But when the prepared chaos is unleashed, the mob will clamor for a savior to restore order and trade precious liberty for false security. This is not that which we inherited. It is that which our forebears fought against. Your valor will not be rewarded if you stand alone. We need to grow our ranks, get more Americans involved, realize that the situation is dire, and know that only the bold will see liberty or death. Either work hard right now to restore constitutional governance for a free and virtuous nation by taking the right wing of the Welfare Warfare Party of the District of Corruption and restoring sound money, free markets, the constitutional militia of the several states, religious and civil liberties, and a sensible foreign policy of non-interventionism backed up by the biggest, baddest military on the planet. Or watch the statists in both parties push their corporatist agenda to their benefit and our demise. Now is the last chance to stop those who perpetuate an empire abroad and a police state at home. To defeat the lawless hordes of cultural Marxists, statists, collectivists, oligarchs, useful idiots, and their fellow travelers, especially the Democrat socialists, first you must crush the neocons and rhinos for liberty. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex and Trog, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex Upside Your Head, broadcasting to you from the ever-trending left, Imperial City. Captain Caveman? Captain Caveman, you are live on Liberty's Thunder.
I'm live.
Are you there?
I'm live.
All right.
I'm double muted. I'm muted on your end and my end.
That was a good opening. Here's a couple things. You actually hit something right at the end that just was one of the things I was wrestling with coming into the show, because as I was getting, you know, I was doing the usual thing, trying to live life and eat and read a bunch of articles that I hadn't finished and finish an audio clip I was listening to, and trying to get my head wrapped around the idea of paradigm shifts. So I'm kind of a simple guy. I will go and go, okay, all right, there's the word in the title of the show, so let's go look it up. And I look it up, and obviously the initial concept of a paradigm shift started out in science, and then somewhere along the line in the 90s, we started applying it to, you know, more of a social economic dynamics, and it has been probably an overused concept in many ways, but that's typical Americans. You know, we will get a hold of something and sounds good, and people will buy into it, and next thing you know, everybody uses it, and they don't really know where it comes from. But one of the challenges I was having was initially when we came up with the titles of these shows, you know, and you talked about the idea of a paradigm shift, I was like, oh, okay, where is the paradigm shift? And then I thought, well, shoot, there isn't any. You know, when I think about the media, same old crap, same lies, same spin, same people, same talking heads, pushing the war agenda, you know, Obama this, Obama this, Obama that, Obama that. You know, every crisis we have, from the IRS to Benghazi to Afghanistan, which has not been reported on for like 2 years, and terrible things going on in Afghanistan, and Iraq, you know, just an absolute total mess. I've followed it ever since we quit reporting on it back then. I've had a thread on it on the group for ever. You know, nobody bothered to pay attention to it. I was looking at 30, 40, 50, 100 people a day getting killed. You know, obviously it was a hotbed of Sunni terror. And, you know, no information. Syria, same thing. So I'm like going, okay, well, from a media standpoint, there has been no paradigm shift. Now, you would think that alternative media and the Internet would have given us that shift. But the problem is people don't know how to use it. Or they fall right back in their same program sheeple habits of focusing on the news of the day that's perpetuated by CNN, Fox News, the radio conservative, so-called conservative talking heads. So it almost gets washed out by the same people who control, you know, the six main corporations and media in this country. So it could have been a paradigm shift, and I've seen fits and start of it, and there are people I definitely follow personally, and so do you, you know, who are on it, you know, who don't listen to the mainstream media, who will look at subjects and break them down and get a historical perspective on it, will do research outside the United States and come up with the reality of what's really going on in that situation, whether it be Iraq or, you know, Iran or Syria or Russia or the Ukraine. So we definitely need a paradigm shift in the media. And really what that's going to take is it's going to take people waking the hell up, shutting off their cable TV, and start thinking for themselves on subjects that they think are important. Because right now, I mean, I have no idea what TV news talks about. You know, I'm sure if you turn on Fox right now, they're, you know, like oohing and aahing and scaring the hell out of people over something. You know, I haven't watched them for a long time, and I plan never to watch them again. I'm sick of their bullshit. I'm sick of them suckering people in, you know, acting like they're some kind of conservative organization to sucker people in, and then start the frickin' neocon war spin. You know, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead. Are you just?
Well, I was just saying they're talking about Benghazi, but we'll get to that.
Oh, Benghazi again. Oh, okay. There you go. Next distraction. Okay, so, you know, the neocons, nothing's changed. America, you know, kind of got nervous with all the wars, you know, coming out of the Bush era, and Obama came into place, and, you know, he blew up Libya and almost blew up Syria, but he realized Russia was going to kick his ass if he did, and, you know, kind of backed off.
The night is still young.
Yeah.
The night is still young. We can blow it up tonight.
Putin gave him an out, you know what I mean, and he backed off. But, well, the thing is, Rex, it's just like here's the spin again. You know, here's Fox News working for the neocons and the war party. Back when they were talking about invading Syria over the, you know, the bull crap on the lies based on the gas attacks, there was a 61% of the public said, no way, not our business, stay the hell out. Well, they've, you know, with IS or IS or ISIL or, you know, ISIS or whatever the hell you want to call them, Al-Qaeda, you know, Al-Qaeda, whatever you want to call them, you know, Obama's private army, you know, scaring the hell out of everybody. And then the refocus on Iraq, like all of a sudden it just happened. And anybody who's kept an eye on Iraq for the last couple of years knows it's been hell and death nonstop. But, you know, they blow the dust off the system and they point the cameras and they start scaring you and have a couple beheadings and, oh, my God, you know, all the evil of the world's coming to get us. And then you get the neocons and the, you know, and the people on Fox and they start scaring the hell out of everybody. Then John McCain and Lindsey Graham run around, scare the hell out of everybody. Next thing you know, we got 61% approval to go into Syria by the American public 1 year later. We learned shit. We learned nothing, Rex. You know, we need a paradigm shift. 2014, we needed one really bad. We really did. But I guess people were more afraid of ISIS and more afraid of Russia. I don't know. We sure needed one. We didn't get it. So who knows what's going to happen in 2016. But, you know, the only paradigm shift I see out there in the world is the death of the U.S. dollar, driven by BRICS. That is the biggest, most dynamic thing happening in the world. That seems that nobody in our unchanging country, unwilling to look at our core problems of our economy, unwilling to look at our insanity and our foreign policy and interference in sovereign nations and blowing countries up and creating enemies out of people who should be our allies and creating friends out of people who are bloody-ass evil and the insanity of our foreign policy, nothing has changed from Bush Sr., you know, getting on the altar of hell and claiming the New World Order, to Clinton, to Bush Jr., to Obama. We have an empire, 800, 900, 1,000 bases around the world, I don't even know, conflicts going on everywhere that we're involved in, both sides of every conflict you can name. And we're broke. We're in debt up to our eyeballs. We have a false economy that's being held together by a constant printing of money from the Federal Reserve, which is not even federal, and there is no reserve. They make it out of thin air. And the world's sick of it. So there is a paradigm shift coming, and we're in it right now. Unfortunately, most Americans won't know about it because they don't pay attention to international news. They don't pay attention to foreign policy except when Fox says to be afraid, and they don't pay attention to economics in our country. The rest of the world is preparing for the next crash, and they're doing it by exiting the U.S. economic system, which has been the mainstream of the world for the last 7 years. So there's a paradigm right there, my friend. Back to you.
Yeah. Interesting thing about a paradigm shift is that it is a change in the status quo, and there is no doubt, there is no question that a change in the status quo is occurring. As I said in the opening and you just reiterated, there is a massive shift from the U.S., EU, NATO control mechanism towards the South and the East, and that is the biggest paradigm shift. Now, paradigm shifts are like tectonic plates. They don't just happen smoothly. There's a lot of friction. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of confusion. And it is going to happen. The question is, what is next? Is there going to be a U.S.-EU hegemony in one area and then a BRICS consortium in the other area? Are they going to fight to the death? Is BRICS merely just another scheme that's replacing the one we have now? how hard will these losers that have controlled the governments and the banks of the West, how hard are they going to fight? Are they going to go down? Are they going to blow up the world and hide in their bunkers? You don't know what's going to happen, but something is going to happen. And the paradigm shift that must occur, just like Chris just said, is in the hearts and minds of Americans. They have to learn of the reality in which they live rather than the illusion that they are taught to believe. And they have to get back in touch with the foundational principles that the founding fathers put into the system of governance that we have, or I should say systems. We don't have a system. We have multiple systems. They saw all of this coming. The Constitution was written in the 1780s, and it was an agrarian society, and now we're a modern society, 350 million people, blah, blah, blah. You know, things change. Principles don't change. And the founding fathers didn't have to know about nuclear weapons. They didn't have to know about biological weapons. They didn't have to know about, the trade agreements, managed trade agreements. They didn't have to know about the technology. They didn't have to know about the Internet. They didn't have to foresee any of this stuff. The only thing that they knew that they could foresee that is inevitable is that men, even the best of us, when given power, tend to be corrupted. And so they gave us a system of checks and balances. Now, the meme that you're taught in school, and Chris, you probably learned the same crap that I did, you know, there's three branches of government, and they are co-equal, and they're checks and balances against each other, and that's pretty much the end of the story. That's a bunch of crap. I mean, that's not untrue. That is true. But that is not the whole story, and that is how the mind war and the mind manipulation occurs. They give you enough truth that you can validate to get you to go, well, that makes sense. And then they slip in the lies either through commission or omission. In the case of checks and balances, they omit the vertical checks and balances, which are the states. The states and the people. Now, when it says the states and the people, it is not talking about each one of us singularly, individually, of our own, quote, sovereignty, checking the federal government. First of all, whether that occurs in principle, in philosophy, or whatever is besides the point. In practical consideration, one of us, individually alone, amounts to nothing against the federal government, even the one from 1790. When it says the states and the people, it means the people in an organized body. Why organized? Because if you're not organized, if you don't have system organization, and Chris has talked about this so many times, about organizational principles of groups, entities, businesses, associations, without it being organized with powers and duties specifically delegated to each individual within that corporate structure. When I say corporate, I mean the body, not a corporation like a business corporation on Wall Street, are ineffective. And the mechanism that the founding fathers did not create, they merely recognized within the Constitution. If they recognize something within the Constitution, then in context you have to understand that that institution existed already. Otherwise, how could they reference it? They can't reference something that they are creating if they haven't put the language in the document to create it. They can only reference something that they didn't create in the document simply by the fact that it already existed and everybody was familiar with it. And that body is the constitutional militia of the several states. And when people hear the word militia, they start thinking about, you know, rednecks with guns in the woods, and all sorts of crazy notions, or private gangs. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. The Constitution does not address that. It talks about the existing militia, which is an ancient institution that has come to us through Western civilization, otherwise known as Christendom, and especially Anglo-Saxon tradition. The militia is the body of people organized in order to enforce the laws of the land, to put down rebellions and insurrections, and to be prepared, trained, and capable for common defense. That's what the militia is. And when you have an organized militia in all 50 states that is specifically, according to the Constitution, made regular, which is what the word regulated means. Regulated doesn't mean that Washington bureaucrats get to write a bunch of rules that no one elected them to do and no one authorized through legislative body just arbitrarily like they do these days. Regulation meant make regular, as in standardized. Congress has the duty and the power to standardize the militia, which means that the training, the language, the ranks, the divisions are uniform so that if you have to have common defense, say, on our southern border against an invasion from South America through Mexico, and you were going to dispatch militia units from Maine, Oregon, North Dakota, and Michigan, that if they were put under the command of a Texas general, there would be no question as to how that command structure works. Equally trained, equally capable, equally organized. That's what it was. That's the body that enforces the laws. When we don't enforce the laws, you end up with a police state. Government-hired employees loyal to the government and standing against the people. That's what you have. You also allow the government to grow and the corporations and the banks to take over, and then you end up with all these imperialist wars on behalf of the interests invested in the banking structure, oil, gas, resources, and that sort of thing. That's why we are where we are. That's the paradigm shift that needs to happen. And it's not an easy one to effect, but it is up to you. And we thank you for listening and most especially for telling people about this show. And the reason for that is Chris and I do this and have been doing this for a long time because it is important. We pay to do this show. We spend time that we don't get paid for building the show and doing the research and getting it out there. But nobody knows it exists unless you tell them because we have no marketing money and we don't play advertising on the show. That's why you get these clips of data that you may have heard bits and pieces elsewhere, and granted, a lot of it comes from Fox News, but we don't allow them to encapsulate it or bookend it with their bullshit. Because that's what Fox News does. And we single out Fox News not because they're any better or worse than CNN, MSNBC, the networks, the controlled papers. They're really not any better or worse. They just happen to be the source that most right-leaning people, conservatives, libertarians, conservatarians, tend to go to as the fair and balanced offering to the left-stream media. But that's the game. You think that they're fair and balanced simply because they're coming at it from a different angle, but they're feeding you the same lies. And so what we do is we try to put it together for you, and we put it together without advertising, which means that you have to be the arm that gets the show out there. So we thank everybody who's on Facebook, who's sharing the show, people who retweet my tweets. Nothing works better than a personal invitation. And if someone doesn't have an internet connection, just give them the phone number. They can listen on their handset, and unless they push the button one, I won't bring them on the air. They don't have to talk to us. They can just listen. That number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013, and you don't have to be on air to hear it. You can just call in, hit your mute button, and listen in your handset. Our shows are also available for you anytime. You just go to blogtalkradio.com/libertiesthunder. All the shows, way back from before the Tampa convention, leading up to the convention, to now, they're all there. All you do is click on the title. It plays right in your browser. I think there's a 30-second commercial. If you really don't even want the commercials, just click play in Media Player or right-click the download button, get an MP3. As I said, we air no commercials. So if you want to avoid the Blog Talk Radio commercials, just download the MP3. You can play it in your media player. You can play it in an MP3-enabled device. You can email it to people. You can even burn CDs and take them to your Campaign for Liberty meetings, your Tea Party meetings, your Republican Party meetings, wherever. Just get the word out there. And you're not endorsing us. You're not agreeing with everything we say. You're not agreeing with the way we say it. You are simply giving people the opportunity to think outside of their paradigm. Because until Americans get outside of their entrenched paradigms, until they quit rah-rah-rah for their team or their particular ideology or their particular bent, then we are not going to be a free people. We are not going to restore liberty. The dollar is going to crash, and we're not going to know how to handle it. You have to educate people. It is totally up to you. And if you're listening, that sucks because it seems like ungrateful work. You bet your ass it's ungrateful work. How much appreciation do you think we get for doing this friggin' show? We don't do it because we want to be popular. I would rather not do it at all. But somehow we've been given this gift of actually understanding this stuff and looking at it from a different perspective. And we were brought together during the run-up to the tempest in Tampa, and we're now, I feel like we're just chronicling the end of America. But the simple fact is that I want a clean conscience, so I'm going to tell you the truth as best as I can, and that's exactly what Chris is doing, and that's exactly what you have to do. Because unless you reach people out there in the real world, not just be an armchair activist, and you don't even have to get involved in the parties if that's not your thing, although I think that taking over the parties is a good idea because it'll at least slow down the tyranny to give us time to organize at the local and state level for what is inevitable. The current paradigm is going to break down. There is no question about that. This is not some prognostication that Rex and Trog came up with. This is not some crazy lunatic fringe theory. These are documented facts with logical conclusions. The dollar is going to die, whether it is because of pressure from BRICS or economic pressures from outside or simply because the assholes that own the Federal Reserve have decided that, well, we can't extend this anymore, so we got to kill it and replace it with something we like. Whatever the reason is and whatever comes next is irrelevant. The fact is, it is going to happen. And if you're not preparing for it and you're not preparing other people for it, you're not doing your duty as a citizen. You're just another schmuck sheep as you run around yelling at people and calling them sheeple because they don't agree with you. So get off your ass, get busy, because if you don't effect this paradigm shift, you're going to be drowned by the tsunami paradigm shift that we're all going to get smacked with real soon. I'm throwing it back to you before I start cussing.
I was biting my lip, man. I wanted to go, amen, brother. Hallelujah. You know, but I'm a caveman, so what the hell. You know, it's important. We say this a lot, and sometimes I think that if somebody's new, they don't get it, or they think we're crazy, or they think we're conspiracy theorists or whatever. But the dollar is going to crash. Everybody knows it. The only people don't know it are Americans. You know, and you made a very good point. You know, whether it's, you know, the BRICS nations and what China and Russia and the rest of them are doing, moving away from the U.S. dollar, or it's our own incompetence in our own Congress and or, you know, the next four wars we're trying to launch. You know, it's just a matter of time. And when is nobody can predict. The if is already is over. You know, this is not Clinton era. You know, if is real, is it's over. We know that the current economic system has been petered out for a long time. You know, Dr. Ron Paul has been talking about this for decades. You know, that's what got him into Congress in the first place. You know, probably the most unlikely guy to run for Congress, you know, in our lifetime, because it wasn't his stitch. He was a doctor. And he saw our country's economic system, maybe, you know, who knows, he started doing research, he started learning about sound money. Next thing you know, he runs for Congress, and he has a message that he got attacked for 40 flipping years. And the thing is I can honestly say I didn't understand our economic system. I understand economics. I was always a free enterpriser, so to speak. But I didn't understand how foul it was, how incorrectly it was put together. And even you know, the Fed was, you know, historically was a terrible move. And for all intents and purposes was unconstitutional. And, you know, and anybody who has a brain in their head and goes back into our history and our founding fathers knows that they fought very hard to make sure no private bank would control our economic system. And they had started a private bank. They got rid of it. Then they got another one in there, and Jackson got rid of it. And then, you know, they did it again, and it was the same characters. If you look at the families involved and the people involved in the banks out of Europe and out of England and the Rothschilds and the rest of them, and, you know, for people who have researched that, you know, it's been the same people forever trying to get control of the U.S. economy. And they did it in 1913, and then they enacted the income tax, or the IRS at that time. And we'd had a few taxes here and there, you know, like the Civil War or the War of the South. or war on the South, sorry. And so that was the beginning of the end. And it's been going on for 100 years. The charter just came up and went by, and nobody batted an eye. And I know that they've had the audit the Fed bill in there a couple times, and people, you know, they get rallied behind it. But here's the bottom line is nobody in power, you know, who lives their life not off of doing good things or the right things for the country, but people who live their life off of the accumulation of power and the wealth that it creates, you know, like most of the crooks in Congress and most of the people that live and breathe and eat and make their fortunes off the federal government trickle-down, are going to want to get rid of the Fed. Because if they got rid of the Fed and they created sound money again, then 90% of the crap that goes on in this country wouldn't happen because nobody could afford to pay for it. It's really that simple. And it you wonder why there is such a Ponzi scheme attached to the U.S. economy. Well, it's because they can make mistakes, and then they could print money, and then they could, you know, raise taxes, called i.e. inflation, to pay for it. And then they could launch wars and borrow money and print more money and sell our debt to the world. And then they could, our companies could open up in foreign countries, third world nations, and build factories and, you know, pay slave labor a dollar a day. So you can have a $80 Nike tennis shoe, and they buy it with phony money that they print out of thin air. I mean, you can't make this crap up, Rex. When I hear myself sometimes just talk about this, how insane our economic system is and how corrupt it is and how fragile it is, you know, you almost think, like, God, you sound like a freaking conspiracy theory guy. But this is – it's the reality. It's economics. It's what America is. The thing that really changed this country, really put us on the spiral to hell, was 1971, Nixon taking us off the gold standard. Because once we don't – I mean, the economic system was already weak before that because we had fractional reserve currency, which meant, you know, somebody print $1 million, and by the time it got all the way into the market through all the different banks and credit agencies – you know, that $1 million was, you know, $60 million. You know, they would just keep multiplying that. So you already had a weak system to begin with. And initially when it started, it was, you know, dollar for dollar, gold for dollar, you know, equal balance. And then they started, you know, saying, oh, you only had to keep one, and then you could lend out. If you had $1 gold, then you could lend out six. And then that started growing. And then every agency was able to, you know, fractionalize that dollar. And so the Ponzi scheme was launched in 1913. And then it got so bad with the Vietnam War that countries around the world were starting to want their gold back. And Nixon took us off the gold standard and stopped it. And then everything started going to hell, and they couldn't figure out, okay, how do we solve this problem? Well, okay, let's attach the U.S. dollar to the petrodollar, and they cut a deal with Saudi Arabia. And here's what's amazing, and I don't know how many people ever bother to do the research, but when you look at the price of a barrel of oil was $13, $13. And then once they got through with their little scam with Saudi Arabia, well, one of the key things they had to do to make it work was they had to get the price of oil up. So they got it up to almost $80 in the blink of an eye. And so you wonder where 67% of your economy went? Right there. And I remember the 70s. I remember, you know, the whole conversation about, you know, America going from a single-income society to a dual-income society, the social impact, you know, that the interest rates. I lived through it. And I remember it. I remember the gas lines. I remember the insanity of it. And they changed the whole economic system, and they unhinged the world from gold. And so the second Ponzi scheme was launched. And they only last. These fiat currencies last, what, 30, 40 years if you're lucky. And they crash. Well, we're at the end. So it's not a question of if. It is when. And the only thing that has allowed this Ponzi scheme to go on as long as it has is we're a frickin' world empire, which means when the U.S. buys crap from China, we print phony money, and then they buy it with the profits that they got from selling us their cheap crap. It's really that simple. It doesn't get any simpler than that. So what happens is the reason you can buy and the reason that you can even afford, if you can, to live in this economy in America and buy the stuff you buy at the prices you buy is because we print cheap money or fake money, and then we sell it to these countries where our corporations function and get stuff made by slave labor. It's really that insane. And that's coming to an end. And why is it coming to an end? Well, it's very simple. The world's had enough. Most of the research I do around the world, whether it be Russia, be China, be anybody, any pick a country, and I can tell you what's going on there in terms of deals that are being made outside the U.S. dollar, people unhinging from the U.S. dollar, people saying, I've had enough, starting to move towards currency swap deals where they're, like, if they're doing business with China, whether it be Australia and China, England and China, Germany and China, Russia and China, whatever. Just, you know, I could spin off the whole world. That's how fast the deals are being made. And I remember when I first started researching this a couple years ago, it was like, oh, they're talking about doing this. Now it's like hundreds of countries, hundreds of deals. This new president of China, I call him the Energizer Bunny, that every 3 days he's in another country cutting another multi-billion-dollar trade deal and outside the U.S. dollar. So unhinging from the last functional economic foundation that allows the U.S. to have these huge welfare systems, huge worldwide global military, huge social programs, huge government, you know, just top-heavy 25% of the whole GDP-type government institute is right on the edge of the cliff. And that is the paradigm shift of the century. And it's coming. And there ain't nothing going to stop it. You know, there were people talking about it a couple years ago. Oh, yeah, you know, this BRICS thing, it's really kind of cute. And, you know, yeah, we'll see if it works. And now people are like, oh, crap, this is real. This is really real. And the U.S. is freaking the hell out. All the power brokers and the banks and the businesses and the corporations and, you know, and the government, nobody will talk about it. You know, they totally blacked out in our media. Because if people really knew what was going on, they'd be freaking the hell out. And so what they do, they just keep printing money, keep the stock market jacked up with all this, you know, free, cheap money, you know, just cycling itself through the stock market. Average person still sucking wind after 6 years of this guy, you know, the community organizer, golfer in chief. And we're trying to figure out how to get in a couple more wars because that's what neocons do. When you have an empire, just like Rome, that had destroyed its culture, destroyed the moral foundations of its society, had made the Roman citizens dependent on government for their basic grain, and any kind of trade or business, you had to be linked to the government, you know, fascism in a sense, you know, from a republic to a democracy to a fascist state and an empire abroad, that the only way they could see to keep it going was to constantly launch wars. Because number one, it keeps people distracted, and number two, you can plunder. It's really that simple. And they just do it, and they do it, and we've seen this system over and over and over again. People think that because we live in the 21st century and we have the Internet, that the world doesn't operate like that anymore. And it's a bunch of bullcrap.
Sometimes the Internet dies.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it is. I mean, think about it. We are no different than the Roman Empire. We're no better. We've learned nothing. We're no more moral. Our wars are bullshit for bullshit reasons. They sell the people propaganda, the information flow. the things that government does when it overspends and overpromises is no different. Mankind never changes. That's why our government was put together the way it was, which is what you were talking about earlier. You know, the separations of power, the balance of power. Congress introduces bills, the House. You know, I mean, it's just everything that we've become, we have been here before in history. And also, the other problem about the history thing I was just saying is people haven't changed. There's still fickle mobs. Hey, we should do a show on that. Uh-huh. But, you know, we're still fickle mobs. We still are emotional. We still get behind our team versus their team. And these people at the top just manipulate you, and they feed you bull crap, and they get you all geared up for the next war, and they get you geared up for the next election. We've been doing this shit since Rome. You don't think these people haven't figured out how to manipulate a society? Our founding fathers had a better plan. The problem is people started getting apathetic. That was the problem. They got fat, they got lazy, they got distracted, and they got apathetic, which was that list on that clip that you played earlier, right before totalitarianism. And then we did that show on the Weimar Republic. The chaos, the breakdown of society, the, you know, the drug, sex, and rock and roll, the distraction, the sports, the perversion. And then, and while all that time, while the government was just printing money like crazy because they didn't have any real solutions, society was partying itself to death. Next thing you know, bam, hyperinflation. Next thing you know, along comes Hitler saying, I'll fix it for you. I'll fix that. We'll straighten this out. Just put me in power. He didn't take over frickin' from a revolution. They voted his ass into power. Austria, another country, even though, you know, dramatic in nature, but, you know, another country. They came to Germany and said, hey, can you come and rule us? We're really sucking over here. Our leaders aren't getting it together and this depression thing going on, you know, that the whole world's experiencing. It's like, you know, we're scared. Can you come and rule over us? How'd that work out for Austria? I'm telling you, man, we are repeating history, and we need a paradigm shift. And I don't know, and I say this every damn show, Rex, I don't know if people are going to wake up or if it's going to take an economic crash or a major war that literally shakes the foundation of this country before people go, whoa, these people are assholes that run this country. We need to get better people in power. I don't know. Back to you.
Oh, gnarly!
I think that was very spot on. Look, I'm getting some questions from a variety of sources, but one of them is regarding, you know, is it necessarily inevitable that the dollar is dead? Well, in a sense, yes, it's inevitable. Now, can the U.S. dollar, can the currency that's called the U.S. dollar still continue? Yeah. Will it be based on something else? Yeah, there, look, in all fiat schemes, at the base of it, there has to be some commodity or resource that supports all the derivatives. So, you know, historically, that's gold because it is the most useful medium for money, and it checks the abilities of governments to inflate. But it could be anything else. And obviously, since the mid-70s, it has been fossil fuel, crude oil mostly, and the power of guns. Do I think that the dollar is inevitably going to die? Yes, because the ledgers are too big. We have over $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities, meaning Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, who knows what this patient destruction and unaffordable care act is eventually going to do. But the fact is that somehow or another it has to be debased. Now, BRICS could be a very interesting wrinkle in the scheme, because if it is in fact operating independently of the Western banksters, then it is a challenge, and they have to be more careful how they bring the system down. We talk about history repeating. Well, the fact is it doesn't repeat. It sort of rhymes or echoes. It's going to happen. Now, no one has ever extended a fiat scheme as long as we have. It's been 100 years, especially since 71, where we're talking now, you know, over four decades. No one has ever done this for that long. No one has had the technology and the means to sustain it and force every other country to inflate at the same rate, which hides the wicking away of wealth to the few from the many. If you look at the countries we have had to liberate, interestingly enough, it is always the countries that refuse to be part of this scheme, which is why Russia has to be demonized now, which is why Assad has got to go. You notice they keep saying Assad has got to go, Assad's a bad guy, Assad's a thug, Assad has got to go. Do they ever tell you why? Why is he a bad guy? Why does he have to go? Why is he our problem? They never mention that fact. Now, I'm not saying Assad's a good guy. I'm not saying that I trust Putin, you know. But the simple fact is you have to ask yourself, why almost uniformly does all of our information from government and corporations and media demonize certain figures? And so the inevitable crash, whether it actually materializes in the death of the dollar, which I believe it will, or it materializes in some other extension based on something else, especially if in fact the large energy reserves that we have are as large, especially through fracking, that they say they are. They might not be. Remember, in psychological manipulation, the root of the information has to be controlled. So perhaps these reserves that they say make us the largest oil producer, the largest gas producer, and all that stuff, maybe they're not as true as we think they are. There's no question that we are increasing, and we are probably more resource-rich than anybody else. But Russia is huge, and maybe we're not as big in that resource area as they are leading us to believe in order to continue the system. So the thing about these things, which is why the label conspiracy theory, which was, by the way, I believe coined in the Nixon administration, interestingly enough, to silence opposition that would try to expose the truth. The problem with these things is that the data is often impossible to get at the source. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. There are whistleblowers. Look at what Snowden did. But it's not always available. But you have to use your critical thinking skills and put things together from a probability perspective and see the patterns and understand the motivations. And that's probably the most difficult thing to do, because we are dealing here with psychopaths. They don't think like normal people. They don't feel like normal people. They practically have no conscience. Their ability to deceive is so far superior to yours, even though we all tend to lie and obfuscate because we're fallen creatures, but their ability supersedes yours. And some of them are in league with diabolical forces that assist them. Now, some of you might not believe in invisible wars or spiritual warfare. Understand something. The people running the, quote, New World Order do believe it. They believe these things. So whether it's true or not, that is their agenda. So I strongly suggest you study that. That's not the topic of this show. It is an important topic. But it's beyond the scope of what we're talking about here. But these people do believe that. They have no qualms about wiping out billions of lives. They have no qualms about that. To them, it's nothing. Killing one person or killing 7 billion doesn't make a difference. You know, they say if you kill a man, you're a murderer. And if you kill many, you're a conqueror. But if you kill them all, you're a god. And don't think for a second that these masters of the New World Order do not fancy themselves gods. They do. You might not understand that. It might be hard for you to accept. That's part of the paradigm shift. That is what they believe. That is how they act, and they do think that they are superior and better than you. You are nothing to them. They have no problem robbing you. They have no problem lying to you. They have no problem killing you. It is that serious. So start waking up. The issue is not necessarily knowing exactly what's going to happen next, how it's going to play out. The fact is you have to look at first principles. This is wrong. This is unsustainable. Even if we have the resources to float the dollar for another four decades, it's unsustainable because it requires the plundering of other people. They're not going to stand for it, which leaves us with two choices: bribe them or kill them. I don't think we want to be that country, especially since the more they bribe and corrupt and kill overseas for their own ends, the tighter the noose of tyranny closes around our necks here at home. The issue of the welfare warfare state is not that it's a welfare state in the sense that it wants to take care of people. They only buy political patronage to give you the appearance of choice, democratism, and giving themselves public legitimacy. But they don't really want to take care of people. They want to take care of certain interests, certain clients, but they'll dump you in a second if you displease them. And if the winds change, you're gone. So you have to understand that the welfare state is about subsistence and political patronage, but it is really just a subset of a police state, whereby the populace that these few world masters fear so much is easily controlled. And the more invisible the chains, the more obfuscated the tyranny, the better. As Aldous Huxley said, and by the way, if you want to hear this stuff, it's on our group, which is the Militia of Liberty's Thunder on Facebook. It's also in Chris's group, which is Liberty's Talk on Facebook, and on our Facebook show page, Liberty's Thunder. If you click on the pick for the show, Chris does these big picks that have the title of the show and the time of broadcast. If you click on that pick in the comment section, I have these videos and articles for your reference, because obviously we can't get to everything in a two-hour show once a week. But Aldous Huxley, who wrote a book called A Brave New World, which was a dystopian sci-fi type thing, and you know he's embedded in these, quote, New World Order masters. His father was a eugenicist. He's a eugenicist. His brother's a eugenicist. They just believe that they're better than the rest of us. And George Orwell, who, by the way, for all you have read 1984 Animal Farm, George Orwell was a socialist. Don't think of him as some kind of free enterprise, liberty-loving guy. He was a socialist through and through, just like when you read Atlas Shrugged, which is a pedantic comic book style thing that I loved when I was 15, but I can't bother reading now as an adult. Ayn Rand was an atheist who had this idea of the virtue of selfishness, who's got it all wrong, too. Now, that doesn't mean she doesn't identify some of the problems, and it doesn't mean that neither did Orwell. I'm just letting you know where their end was. It was incorrect. One was a complete egoistic, individual, selfish, man is an island nightmare, and the other one is a socialist collective nightmare. Neither one works because neither one has the proper human anthropology as part of its system. But the fact is 1984 is about a robust, fascistic, Nazi model type, jackbooted police state. Brave New World was about a scientific dictatorship where the slaves are happy. They're drugged. They're controlled through mental manipulation, and so they go along with the system. And the fact is that we have both, because you see, so long as you go along to get along within the confines of the system, as long as you allow them to manipulate your mind or choose to never become aware, there's not much friction. You'll get a little bit here, you'll lose a little bit there, but you think you have a choice, always hold out hope, then you think you're free. Now, they'll let you be free in certain areas to do whatever you want. As much, sexual activity as you want, have at it. As many drugs as you want to consume, have at it. As much football, sports, entertainment, have at it. It's the bread and circuses nightmare. You're free to have that stuff. But don't try to aspire to anything more, anything for which a human being's dignity is created specifically, because now you're running into the causing friction within their system. And that's where the 1984 model comes in. These are the paradigm shifts you have to be aware of. And Trog and I don't have all the answers. We're not going to give you all the answers here because we don't have them. But if we get you to think critically and start getting in touch with your foundational roots and start reaching out to other people and waking them up out of this matrix that they're in. It'll be an unpleasant awakening. It'll be an unpleasant reality. Well, you can be an optimist. You can be a pessimist. Neither one is real. Look at what is in front of you. The reality as it is, not as you wish it was to be, and it sucks. It sucks big hind teeth. Okay, it sucks. That's the reality. And it's going to hurt like hell to fix it. It'll hurt more the longer we take to fix it. If we don't have this paradigm shift soon ourselves, we're going to experience a paradigm shift that's going to hurt even more. But you have to fix it nonetheless or die trying. And you have to do it now. And as scary as it is, if you run and hide, you are part of the problem. Yep. If you make the case and fail, you are the solution. Just because we're working towards the right thing does not guarantee success. In fact, most of the time, those who work for the right things in this world get shit on. And you will get shit on. But you would have lived a good life of virtue and truth and died well. And you'll be rewarded for that. But if you go along to get along, while you breathe, while you enjoy the food and the benefits that the rest of us don't get because we don't go along and get along, you're dead inside. You are complicit with the enemy, an enemy that will chop your head off just as easily as ours. Citizen Robespierre started the Reign of Terror in revolutionary France, the Jacobin Revolution, which may have been the first communist revolution the planet had seen. It was based on egalite, fraternite, all this crap, equality and fraternity, and it's all lies. A Jacobin revolution does nothing but replace truth with license. And guess what? The Reign of Terror killed so many Frenchmen, 6,000 priests and religious, and even Citizen Robespierre ended up under the guillotine. Because when you unleash hell, hell consumes you. And that's what you have ahead of you. If you are willing to go along with the forces of hell, and think of that in truth because it is real, or if you want to think of it metaphorically, that's fine. Either way, if you align yourself with the forces of hell in order to gain something now, you will be chewed up and spit out later. Stand against it, and if it costs you your life, so be it. You would have died well. We're all going to die someday. Die standing for something true and something good. If you don't do it, who will? Chris, you want to get to a clip because we've only got 45 minutes left, or do you want to throw something on top of my little rant there?
Oh, that was, wow. That was intense. We're not recommending that you die tomorrow, by the way, folks. But sorry, I just had to be light. Is it that bad? Yeah, pretty much. It is. And I'll tell you why it's bad. Because people don't give a shit. I drive down the road and almost feel like I'm in a sci-fi movie sometimes. I'll look at people racing around, fighting traffic, dead up to their eyeballs, their houses and their cars and their credit cards and their basic consumption all on debt. I've been teaching against this whole economics, get out of debt, pay off your bills, stay out of debt, start a business, for most of my adult life. And the reason is because if you don't live the free enterprise system, if you don't live sound money in your own family, in your own life, then you're going to vote for people who will give you free shit and promise to keep you safe and promise to make it better. And promise to fund your favorite freaking program. Well, the problem is when you got 300 plus million people in the world, they all got their favorite program. They all got their need. And all you do is perpetuate a centralized Politburo. And for those of you who don't know that word, that was the head of the USSR. That was the government system. Bunch of unelected bureaucrats who voted themselves into power over and over and over again, had all the power centralized and controlled everything until it collapsed. Because when you turn people into sheep, fearful, afraid of your neighbor, needy, reliant on government and not reliant on yourself, the system always implodes because human beings will never change. And that's what we're in. We're on a modern version of the USSR, not quite totally a police state, but pretty damn close. I would submit that if you talk to people like I do around the world in other countries, they see us as a pretty aggressive police state, especially the countries we like to blow up and use our military as a police force in the country to control the country for years and years and years. And so what can happen over there can happen right here. And people say, no, no, this is America. We're free. We got the Bill of Rights. We got the Constitution. Yah, rah, rah. Are you kidding me? You've been asleep since 9/11? They've already finished off that stuff. The question is not if, the question is, will we get our country back? I don't know. I really don't. Play the clip there, buddy.
All right, we're going to get into this clip, but, you know, if you're looking for nice and happy and optimism and, you know, everything's going to be roses and sunshine, don't listen to this friggin' show, because this is truth, and it's doom and gloom, because the reality is doom and gloom. So suck it up and get busy. Don't give me this namby-pamby stuff of, oh, you guys sound scary, conspiracy. If you're that much of a pussy, you do not deserve to be free, and you belong in the FEMA camps of the slave masters or the brothels or the drug dens or whatever other kind of shit you want to, you know, lose your life doing. But if you want to live free, if you want liberty, understand what that means. People have died for this. Died standing for this. Millions have died on their knees, thinking that if they just plead with their masters, they'll get a couple more breaths. That is a bullshit way to live. You were made for more than that. Rise up, suck it up, put on your big girl panties, and get busy. If you want nice...
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
It ain't me. And, caveman that comes along on the ride with me, he ain't so nice either, so suck it up. Here's this clip. It's going to scare the crap out of you, and it should, because if you're not scared enough to do something, then just watch your football games and your Kim Kardashian's ass on TV and smoke your grass and shoot your heroin and you know, promote sodomy and fake money and blowing up innocent people across the globe so your corporations can lie about the available technology and the resources and the money and live your pathetic little meaningless life. And don't worry about eternity. It'll be plenty hot for you. Or stand up and do something good. Get your head out of your ass and be an American, like our founding fathers who fought the greatest empire the planet had ever seen in order to live free. And they didn't have to. They were rich. They had land. They could have gone along with the British Empire, paid the 3% tax, sucked it up, and been very, very, very wealthy and lived comfortable lives. But they thought that liberty was worth more than that. And if you don't, God knows why you were born in this country or why your parents brought you here.
Congressman Lawrence McDonald has been an outspoken advocate of improved national security, and he has devoted hundreds of pages in the Congressional Record to documenting the internal threat of espionage, subversion, and terrorism.
Yes, we are at war. Very definitely. We have been at war. It's an economic war. It's a war of subversion. It's a war of espionage. It's a war of ideas, and it's a war of terrorism and infiltration.
Is it as serious a war as it would be if there was an exchange of nuclear weapons?
No, it's, the type of war we are in is far more sophisticated than an exchange of gunfire or nuclear weapons, even, because it's a war of attacked upon institutions. It's a war of attacked upon every segment of a society. It is total war.
We create government to secure our rights, not to give them away. The Patriot Act represents giving away rights, not securing them. It's said, well, it hasn't been adjudicated. The laws that we make derive from our constitutional authority, and that's not just a matter of political will, but it's about moral reasoning. And when we look at Section 215, which lets the government obtain orders for private records or items from people who are not connected to any investigation, when we look at Section 206, which lets the
gentleman's
FBI
time has expired.
Additional 30 seconds.
The gentleman's recognized for 30
when we look
seconds.
At Section 206, which allows the FBI to obtain an order from FISA to wiretap a target without having to specify the target or the device, when we look at Section 6001, which authorizes the government to conduct investigations of non-U.S. individuals not connected to a foreign power or terrorist group, effectively allows the government to circumvent standards that are required to obtain electronic surveillance orders from criminal courts. When we look at these things, these provisions are divorced from our constitutional experience. They're divorced from what we know are common sense provisions of what our rights ought to be. That's why I'm opposed to the extension of the Patriot Act, and why, if we had any sense, we'd repeal the whole thing.
Because it undermines civil liberties, and the Real ID is a national ID card. A lot of conservatives supported the Real ID card because it was promoted as, that's how we're going to keep out the illegal aliens.
Right.
But once again, why register law-abiding American citizens if it's the illegals that are coming in or a terrorist coming in? Do you think they'll either use the law and obey the law or abide by it and get in or just disapprove of it? But this Real ID, although it's done through the state driver's license, is really nationalized, and we're very fortunate. That's another example of how the people are waking up. Several states now have voted to reject this whole idea of accepting the national ID under threat that they will lose some government funding, federal government funding. So that is very, very encouraging. But the Real ID is a national ID card. It means that eventually, if we let this go, we will be showing our papers for every single thing we do. And you know, some people say, "Oh no, we don't want a national ID card. We want to have just ID cards and all for the illegals."
Okay.
Yeah, but how do you do that? And what if you look like you might be an illegal? You better be able to prove you're not an illegal. So therefore, you have to have some type of a documentation. It's really just a lot of scare tactics. A lot of what government does, regardless of whether it's the over-emphasis of the potential danger, say, of a Saddam Hussein or an Ahmadinejad or potential terrorists or poverty, it's all, or even environmental concerns, it's always scare the people. Terrorize the people, and then they'll succumb to the government taking care of them.
Right.
And of course, that raises the question of the wisdom. Reminds us of the wisdom of Franklin, who said, you know, if people start giving up their liberties for the sake of security, the ultimate result then is going to be that we'll have neither.
See your papers? I don't think I have them on me.
In that case, we'd have to ask you to come along.
Wait, it's possible that yes. Here we are.
These papers expired 3 weeks ago. You have to come along.
Halt! Halt!
Initially, I thought that Washington had simply lost control of their coup, that they had overlooked these elements. But some of my sources maintain that Washington realized that its front men were not strong enough. They were too weak to succeed with the coup, and that it needed an organized armed group. And so these sources tell me that Washington was working with the extreme ultra-nationalists. The new Cold War began 23 years ago with the collapse of the Soviet Union. And President Reagan's advisors violated every agreement that President Reagan had made with Gorbachev. They took NATO into Eastern Europe to Russia's borders. They broke every arms limitation agreement that Washington had with Moscow. They financed and sponsored color revolutions in former constituent parts of Russia and the Soviet Union, including Georgia, the birthplace of Joseph Stalin. Georgia is now an American puppet state. They're speaking of putting Georgia into NATO, which means more American missile bases on Russia's border. And now they are putting Ukraine, making Ukraine an American puppet state, which means more American missile bases on Russia's border. Washington is confronting Russia with a very stark situation: surrender or war. World War III will have no winners. Washington's position is that whatever advances Washington's agenda is legal. Whatever gets in the way of Washington's agenda is illegal, undemocratic, and against human rights.
Why is it that you call the Western media the lie factory?
It's lost its independence. The Western media doesn't have any independence. The media in the United States lost its independence during the Clinton regime, when five mega corporations were permitted to concentrate the entire formerly dispersed, formerly independent media into five giant corporations. The value of these corporations is their federal broadcast licenses. So if they go against the government's agenda, they may find that their licenses are not renewed, and therefore the value of the company goes to zero. And moreover, the companies are no longer run by journalists. They're run by corporate advertising executives, political operatives, and former government officials. And these people have their eye on advertising revenues and getting along with the government. So this means that the American media functions as a ministry of propaganda for government and for the corporations.
The meeting in the White House over 2 years ago, everyone in the national security team recommended arming ISIS.
But there'll be a tremendous slaughter in Syria. What the great humanitarians like Obama and Mrs. Clinton and the rest of them never talk about is that one of the reasons that the Assad government is resisting is not just because it's the government, but because they're of a religious sect that will be wiped out. There's over a million of them. And if they go down, there'll be a tremendous slaughter, which we will have been the authors of.
Now, if we actually strike against the Assad government, shouldn't an actual declaration of war be established if we're going against a sovereign entity?
Absolutely, sir. All the arguments they've made over the past while that you don't need a declaration of war because you can't declare war against a group or a non-state entity go out the window. I think at the very least, Boehner... And if the senator who's in charge are the Democrats, the guy from Nevada, have any real respect for the positions they hold, they'll demand that the president come before the Congress and ask for a declaration of war.
Now, a declaration of war, like you just mentioned, you can't declare war against an idea like terrorism or action like terrorism. But what would that mean in the foreign policy spectrum that America is now declaring war? We haven't declared war since World War II.
Well, it would mean we're kind of edging back toward the Constitution, heaven forbid. You know, we're getting away from the idea that the president is a monarch, an absolute king who can take us to war whenever he pleases, and we also would negate the idea that the Congress can delegate a power that's only theirs, which is declaring war. See, the Congress does something so they can have it both ways. They pass this declaration that says we allow the president to use force. And then if he goes to war and he wins, they can claim credit. But if he goes to war and he loses or gets kicked, then they can say, well, they can sit on the sidelines and attack him. It's a cowardly business, and it's an unconstitutional business. I think it's a mountain. They're making a mountain out of a molehill here, because they want to go to war against Syria, because they're hoping Iran will come to Syria's defense and it will give them a chance to go to war against Iran.
Now, when the president says, or John McCain says, there are national security interests at stake here, what are they referring to?
Israel. Israel is the only possible reason. If we're so concerned that something is going to happen to Israel, we'll go to war for them. In fact, they'll bribe us to go to war for them or corrupt us to go to war for them. There is no U.S. national security problem here. In fact, we will have a national security problem if we attack Syria and degrade Assad to the point where his government falls. Because then our real enemy, the bigger enemy, which is the Sunni movement, not the Shias, will take over there.
Now what about the...
If you've never experienced mass hysteria, pray that you never do. But you will if you don't nip it in the bud now in this 11th hour. It's surrender or war. Whether that war is a shooting war in a foreign land, a mind war, a war against amorphous things like poverty, terrorism, which is just a tactic of war, or the environment, whatever. It's all manipulative, and it manifests eventually violently, and people die. That's what you're seeing. What you heard there, we started off with Congressman Larry McDonald. If you don't know who he is, get familiar. There are clips of him on YouTube. We have them in the Militia of Liberty's Thunder and also in Chris's group, The Group, which is actually called Liberty's Talk. Check them out. It's important. Congressman McDonald is very outspoken, and these people will go to any length to silence a voice like his. They shot down an entire jumbo jet of innocent people to kill this one man. Look it up, KLM 007. It was, I believe, in 83. Happened over Russia, which at the time was the Soviet Union, not the Russia of today. You also heard from former Congressman Democrat Dennis Kucinich and former Congressman Republican Dr. Ron Paul talking about the Patriot Act, the Real ID, and the other police state measures. Keep in mind something. This isn't going to be like Casablanca or World War II or what you've seen in the movies of a police state. This is an invisible police state. It's much more like the Matrix than it is like Nazi Germany. And it's a technological and psychological police state, a scientific dictatorship, as Aldous Huxley would put it, which makes it far more insidious because it's harder to see. Learn to see. Open your friggin' ears and eyes and think clearly. And then we moved on there a little bit to... PCR, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. If you don't know who he is, look him up. His bio is very interesting. He knows of what he speaks. And he was talking about the manipulations that we're seeing in the geopolitics of the situation. And he heard Jihad Jane McMahon, a.k.a. John McCain. It was likely a Freudian slip, but it was on the Fox Noise, and he basically said that he was in the meeting where all of the advisors told Obama that we had to arm ISIS. Now, that might be a slip of the tongue, but I suspect that it's a slip of the tongue that Jihad Jane McMahon inadvertently revealed the truth. Remember, wherever Jihad Jane goes, you get a coup or a rising terrorist threat or some other crap like that. It's just a given. He's like the harbinger of death. And Arizona, for God's sake, retire the son of a bitch. Put him out to pasture. He belongs in a desert, preferably the Saudi desert, but I'll settle for Arizona. And then we moved on to a little bit of Michael Scheuer, who was a former CIA analyst, head of the Bin Laden unit. He was the Al-Qaeda hunter, and he told you there what was going on. We are going to topple Assad in Syria. Remember, you know, he's a bad guy. He's got to go. He's a thug. They never tell you why. Well, the reason why is because he, along with his supporter, because, you know, Assad is running a small secular Arab backwater, but they're allied with Russia. And Putin and Assad are the two leaders who are posing the biggest threat to ISIS that was funded with your money, your debt, your propaganda. And now it's being posed as a threat to you and a homeland threat. And we need more security measures and you need to give up more of your liberty because of ISIS. It's a friggin' mind war. Learn the truth. And I think something that he said that was very, very key. He was talking about Congress setting it up so they can have it both ways. And guess what? You know, whichever president you got right now, it's a Muslim Brotherhood operative with Marxist sympathies. They want to have it both ways too. And when we talk about having it both ways, it's not just a lie. It's worse than a lie. It's the Hegelian dialectic. We've talked about it before in simple terms, like David Icke puts it. It's create a problem, elicit a reaction, and sell the solution, which is what you wanted all along. Hegel referred to it as thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. If you don't understand these things, you will be easily manipulated. Learn about it. Now, we've got about 21 minutes left of live air. Blog Talk Radio gives us a two-hour block. We can broadcast for up to 3 hours. I don't want to go that long. We're going to try to get out of here soon. But in case we go over the 20 minutes, if you're listening in your browser live now, you will lose the feed. The only way you can listen live tonight is to call in and listen on your handset. I won't bring you on the air. You don't have to talk to anybody. Just call in and listen on your handset. That number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. In about 20 minutes, we're going to go dead if you're listening in your browser. But you can always catch the rest of the show, especially the Liberty Thunder After Hours, by going to our Blog Talk Radio page, blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Thunder, and click on the link that has the title for this show, which is Empire of Chaos Paradigm Shift, and it'll play right in your browser, and you can download the MP3 and listen to it that way. But again, if you want to listen live tonight, there's a bunch of you who are, 646-649-1013. Chris and I have a very loose format, and we both tend to sometimes be long-winded, oftentimes me more so than he, and even though he usually drops bullshit or shit before I do, when I get fired up, sometimes the F-bombs do fly. But back to you, Chris.
Oh, man. You know, interesting topic, because I've really had to kind of reach inside to think about this one and to get a focus, because I'm really, you know, coming from my background in life and the things I've done in my life, I'm really into the paradigm shift mentality of always breaking through barriers and, you know, launching business enterprises that people didn't even know existed. I mean, that's one of the things that makes America great, is that we don't stay locked into specific mindsets to where, you know, we encage ourselves. And one of the frustrating things for me and my background and my training has been since 9/11 is that we've locked ourselves into a cage voluntarily, whether it be how you receive media, whether it be who you listen to, whether it be how you view the world politics, how you view economics, where you get your information from, who does your investing for you, all of it. You know, I remember, you know, from a standpoint of a major thing for me was when I was doing the research on Syria, and this is a couple years ago now. And I was like, well, what the hell's going on over there? You know, it's like this freaking civil war. And it was, you know, it was the one part of the Arab Spring that wasn't really focused on, because the Egypt thing was the big one. And Syria really didn't get a lot of attention. But I tripped over it in some research I was doing. And I built a thread on it, and I posted stuff I found and made comments, and, you know, as I was learning about it. And then I had this aha moment, and it was like, oh, crap, this has nothing to do with Syria. This is all about Russia. And it was like this shift, this paradigm shift, not to overuse the term, because what it did was I was looking at one thing, and this is something they talk about in the dynamic, especially when you talk about the scientific terminology of paradigm shift, is you're focused on a research, you're focused on proving a scientific fact or whatever the case may be, and you're doing all this research, and all of a sudden you have this breakthrough. But what happens is this spinoff of unknowns become available to you because you quit looking at the problem in a certain way. And that's a really key, man, I hope I'm not getting too deep on people right now, but that is a really key thing to living a great life, to having awareness, to being a critical thinker, to being a free citizen, to being prosperous, to making good investment. I mean, all of that stuff, all of the people I've known in my life that live dynamically inside this great country are people who live outside the box. They don't get an education, get a job, and then stay in that job forever and a day, you know, waiting for the world to take care of you. You know, they don't have that, you know, education, job, and work until you die, and retirement, you know, retire and then die after you retire mentality, but they live outside that. What's possible? What can I invent? What can I create? What kind of business can I make? Can I, you know, take my family to the next economic level? Well, the same mentality occurs, or the same process and cause and effect and result occurs if you give a crap about understanding, i.e., the economy, i.e., foreign policy, i.e., understanding the Constitution and how the government's supposed to work versus how it does work. In terms of when you pick any topic you want to pick, whether you say, okay, I want to understand what's going on in the Middle East. Well, the first thing you want to do is shut off the damn news and shut off the radio, sit down and open a file and start researching for yourself and assume that everything it's told you is bullshit that has some kind of an agenda attached to it. And then you can learn who set up the boundaries that the Middle East is currently on. What's going on between the Sunnis and the Shias? What are the Twelvers? You know, what's going on with Assad and his group? And who is Iran besides, you know, just Israel's enemy and they're trying to make a nuke and the crap you hear on the news? You know, but actually do the research. And then you start understanding this, just like with Russia, there are very few Americans that understand anything about post-Russia, post the fall of USSR. 90% of our foreign policy in Europe and in the Middle East, especially the northern Middle East, or the Stan countries, Kazakhstan, Kazakhstan, all the rest of them, Uzbekistan and the rest of them, has to do with containing Russia. Well, but the USSR fell, Trog, so what's the issue? Well, the issue is, if you understand the new American century and the neocon mentality, they want never to allow another country, especially Russia, rise up and to become economically or militarily strong enough to challenge U.S. dominance over the whole freaking empire. Now, if you're a person that believes that the U.S. should dominate the whole world and blow up anybody they want at will and sanction anybody they want at will and force our rules and our democracy and our morals or lack of morals on any country we want, then this foreign policy is perfect for you. But if you're a person who says, why? Why did we do that? Why are we there? Why did we do that there? We don't do that in our own country. Why is it okay to do it over there? You know, why are we funding ISIS? Why are we funding Al-Qaeda? Why are we fighting them in one country and funding them in another? That's kind of odd. That's a little immoral, isn't it? You know, isn't that an odd concept to have? If you're the kind of person that goes, why? Then you're the kind of person who will do the research and learn some things and start to become part of the solution. Because we already got hundreds of millions of people who don't give a crap, you know, who are just walking around in some kind of insane daze, who know nothing that's going on, probably don't even listen to media at all, hardly, and they just walk through life just struggling along, hoping somebody will solve the problem in Congress. We already got those. Then we got people on the left and the right who are in the game, but they're totally clueless about what the game really is. That's the challenge in the politically, is the people who are involved politically and vote, is that they have no clue. Whenever you say Republican, you know, there are so many Republicans who come from that Reagan era, you know, that influenced their life, whether they were like me as a, you know, young adult, and that influenced my life. So I have this concept about what a Republican is and should be. Well, the Republican Party today has got nothing to do with that era. It's like so many people that I see in my life and I see on social media, you know, always whining about how it is and how immoral our society is and how this and how that and how that, and these have constant discussions about the breakdown of the social, you know, makeup of our society and the numbers of abortions and the drugs and, you know, all of it. You know, and the thing is that what they don't understand is, number one, complaining about it ain't going to solve it. Number two, we've lost the culture. And if you think voting in your favorite religious senator like Rick Santorum, you know, with the fire of God in his eyes, is going to solve it from government, you're insane. We don't need a savior. We have a savior. Okay, what we need is some sane politicians who respect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the rule of law, regardless if they're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. In other words, here's the problem with the whole Bush era, and this is something a lot of my Republican friends just don't seem to want to admit. Most of the violations and abuses that Obama is able to run off of and run with and take to the next level were all set up under the Bush administration. But when you had your guy in there, he was fighting terrorism, then yeah, you bet it's good because we got a good guy and he won't abuse those laws that he's putting into power. Well, that's the frickin' problem right there, people, is that it doesn't matter who's in power. If the violation is an imbalance in the way our country's supposed to be run, and it's an over-empowerment of a centralized king figure, well, what happens when your good guy is out of office and all of a sudden their good guy gets in office and starts running with those rules and that power that was built by the other guy that was just in, and he starts doing shit you don't agree with? Now you bitch and you whine for 5.8 freaking years on Facebook. Obama this, Obama that, Obama this. What you don't understand is we need our country back, not a party back. You need our country back. You need both sides of the aisle constrained to the way the power system was set up in the beginning, whether it be, you know, the House, the Senate, the President, to the courts, down to the states, to the sovereign citizen. There was a reason our founding fathers put it together this way. But people have allowed all that power to centralize. And you make excuses when it's your guy in power, and then you bitch for 8 years when it's the other guy in power. Now, let's say we get our guy in power, and then they're going to bitch for 8 years. It's like what you said many times, and I've heard it a lot, is where's the anti-war left for the last 6 years? I mean, I didn't hear a blip on anybody. The guy devastated a sovereign nation, Libya, in case anybody hasn't done any research on that. You know? I mean, it's like, what the hell? Afghanistan's a total mess. And when was the last time you heard anybody talk about Afghanistan ever? You know, we still losing troops over there. If it had been a Republican in power, it'd be 24-7. If a guy stubbed his frickin' toe in the mess hall, they'd be reporting it 24-7. You know, it's terrible. We had half of our weapons that are shipped to Afghanistan disappeared, just like all the frickin' weapons in the country Obama destroyed. Libya disappear. Geez, who's got them? The good guys or the bad guys? What do you think? You know, it doesn't matter who's in power. The system that this country was set up on was to constrain that power. You know, why do you think the Republicans don't bitch about the NDA, about the NSA? In fact, they're picking on Rand Paul for claiming that liberty is important in this country. The Republicans were. Why? Because they want the frickin' power when they get in there. That should be a sign right there that tells you that, just winning back the Senate may not solve the problems of this country, huh? Charlie, you got to get some clue here. This isn't a damn football game. This country's in serious frickin' problem. And we're on the edge of a frickin' war with some big-ass countries that have nuclear weapons because these people are insane, because they're losing their control. They're losing their empire. They're losing their power. They're losing the power that the U.S. trade dollar, reserve currency, petrodollar, whatever you want to call it, all the same package. It has its own little detailed description. But the same concept, it's falling apart. Countries are moving away. They're realigning. BRICS is formed. All this stuff is going on. We're still screwing around with sovereign nations, toppling nations, talking about invading Syria to get ISIS, who we freaking created. And if you don't understand that, I don't know what to tell you. You know, God, you know, and you look at the Ukraine. How many idiots in this country have no clue that the U.S. caused that revolution? It was a sovereign nation. The bedrock of the Russian civilization started in Kiev, Ukraine. Most of eastern Ukraine and definitely Crimea were not even a part of Ukraine. Those were little things that happened through the Soviet Empire, through depending on who was in power. There's so much that people don't even understand. How many Ukrainians are ethnic Russians? How much trade is done into Russia from Ukraine, especially eastern Ukraine? And we got right in the middle of that messed up country, and we frickin' toppled their government. And then they launch almost an ethnic cleansing war. Just some devastating shit you'll never hear in Western media. And you hear nothing but Putin, 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 and the average American has no clue what's going on over there and how close we are to a freaking Fourth World War over this shit. Because why? I don't know. They're freaking crazy. I don't know why. They're idiots. You don't think we have enough problems here in this country to worry about instead of toppling other nations, interfering with other people's politics, launching wars, funding rebels to take out a government because he wouldn't let us build a pipeline through his country, Assad, you know? Or, I mean, how about GMOs? This country doesn't want GMOs, so let's topple the government. Kind of freaking freedom, free enterprise, capitalistic, democratic concept is that? Who pickled whose brain here? People need to wake up to economics and foreign policy, or this country's lost. Because the empire is at risk, and a lot of people don't even know how big our empire is. That's the sad part. You work, you pay your taxes, you bitch on Facebook, and you don't even understand your economy. You work, you pay your taxes, you bitch on Facebook, and you don't even understand your foreign policy. Two most important things going on in the 2014, ain't even being talked about. 2016, better be the topic. You better get some people in power and a president who has some sanity behind their foreign policy before we end up in a frickin' war. And I'm not talking about, you know, like blowing up Iraq. I'm talking about a war, Russia, China, big armies, big nuclear stockpiles. Are you freaking kidding me? This community organizer is a puppet. You think it's Obama? Everybody all day long at Fox News. He's, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He has no policy. Bullshit. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's on his teleprompter. There are people controlling him. And you got the neocons over there, the McCain and the Fox News talking heads. War, 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 bomb, 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 war, 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 more bomb. We need a bomb, we need a bomb, war, war. Oh, my God, there's a threat. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Doesn't that remind you of the last, what was that? Oh, just before Iraq. Rex, remember that?
Yeah.
That's all these people know. You know, that's all they understand. That's all they know. Because they're all part of that new America century look that up on the internet. There's a 90-page document. You can read it, and you'll understand these psychopaths. Yeah. This is not America. It is not sustainable. You know, the USSR, the only power that challenged us in the world, fell 23 years ago. And in those 23 years, we went from being a great country with a great responsibility to a freaking insane country controlled by a bunch of psychopaths who have spread us all over the world and got us manipulating and involved and blowing up other countries all over the world. I ran a poll. They did this massive poll all over the world. Number one country in the world. We're not talking about third world nations where you're saying, oh, yeah, well, those people hate us anyway. No, the whole world. The U.S. is considered the greatest threat to world peace. How do you like that? That's not the kind of exceptionalism that I, as an American, believe or think is correct. I don't know about you. Maybe that's your thing. Back to you. I'm done. That's my close.
Oh, all right. Well, close. That's good. We're almost out of here on time. 2 minutes till dead air, folks. So if you're listening live, a bunch of you are through your browsers, you will be cut off in 120 seconds unless you call in 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. You can listen on your handset. I'm obviously not taking any calls because the caveman just brought the house down, and I'm going to bring it on home, and then we'll end with our usual clip, hopefully, from Ronald Reagan and Rand Paul. This stuff is serious, folks, and there's a temptation to freak out, the mass hysteria that we've been talking about, and that is not how you win.
Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man!
You have the resolve. You have to wake up. You have to educate yourself and educate others. If you don't do it, then you're screwed. I mean, it would be really nice if we could get MSLSD and the Communist News Network and Fox News to come with a warning label like the prescriptions. You know, watching Fox News may make you feel like a good patriotic conservative. Some side effects apply. It may result in mind numbness, following the NWO agenda, not getting your head out of your ass, high blood pressure, and possible death. But that's not how it works. The way that it works is you watch all this stuff, and if you're a right-leaning person, if you're libertarian-ish, you're conservative or libertarian, you go, well, at least they're giving me some truths here. They got John Stossel on there. They got Judge Napolitano on there. They interview Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, so it's obviously really good. And then they jam the neocon agenda. They jam all this stuff down your throat, and you eat it up because it seems like the opposition. It's not really the opposition. It's just designed to control your mind. I mean, I was watching Neil Cavuto the other day. Oh, Rex, you keep telling us not to watch Fox News, but you're telling me that you watch Fox News. Yeah, I watch Fox News. I need to know what they're up to. It's also the only place I can get some of these clips that you hear on the show. But Neil was on there, and they're talking about how Rand Paul doesn't know what he's doing, and he's all over the place, and he's wishy-washy on Syria and ISIS. And they started talking about Jeb Bush. And you might throw up a little in your mouth. I'm probably going to throw up a little bit when I say this. And Mitt Romney. And then they brought on their other appealing douchebag, the Gov, Mike Huckabee. Yay! Hey, folks, you're not electing a friggin' pastor of some mega stadium. Okay? Get your heads out of your asses. Huckabee is a huckster. Jeb Bush is just a three-peat of a mistake. Mitt Romney is a two-time loser. And these are your conservative champions? Are you frigging kidding me? What the hell is wrong with you? I mean, this is insanity. If you believe this stuff, then you're nuts. You've been conditioned to be your own worst enemy. Wake the frack up. You know, you hear lots of doom and gloom on this show. You hear some really spooky clips from some spooky guys. You hear some opinions you haven't heard anywhere else. Well, I don't know if I want to share this, Rex. People will think I'm crazy. Let them think you're crazy. If you sound crazy because you're telling the truth, then friggin' sound crazy and don't be afraid of it. Would you rather sound sane and be proper in polite society with your khaki pants and your blue blazer and a pole stuck up your ass so that you could be as duped as everybody else, but you sound sane? This friggin' peer pressure, this desire to be approved by other human beings, this is part of their mechanism of control. If you seek the approval of men instead of the approval of truth, you're a deluded fool, and you might just be part of the problem. Now, we bitch a lot about the government. I bitch a lot about the government. And it's not because my taxes are too high or they make me cut my grass and all that namby-pamby bullshit. All right? I bitch about our appropriated government because I love my country. Those who blindly place their faith in government and nearly lament that it isn't their team that is in charge of it have no friggin' country. You are global citizens, citizens of the world. I love everybody. It's all, you know, granola and sunshine, and we can get along. Or I hate everybody who's not part of my group. Those damn immigrants, those people that don't look like me, those friggin' Muslims. That's two extremes of insanity. Most Muslims are prisoners in this world. They're prisoners of their own mind war because Islam is nothing more than a mind war, imperialist political ideology masquerading as a religion. And it comes straight out of the Saudi desert and the bowels of hell. And if you think, oh, Rex is speaking against Muslims. No, I'm not. I know a lot of Muslims. They're good people. They've been duped to believe all sorts of crap, just like most Christians who believe all sorts of crap from, you know, the guy who's on TV with the big mega stadium who's preaching, hey, if you pray hard enough and you ask God enough, you'll be rich. God's not a slot machine, you fools. And you atheists and agnostics out there with your, oh, I don't buy religion. You have your own belief system, and it's irrational and warped. Re-examine it real soon because shit is about to get real. And if you've got nothing on which to stand, you will fall for everything that they feed you. Wake up. We are not citizens of the world. We are citizens of these United States. If you love this country, you love liberty, and you love the traditions of Western civilization, otherwise known as Christendom, and whether you're a Christian believer or whether you are merely a secular Christian, that is the inheritance that you have of the notion of liberty, ordered liberty as we understand it. It does not exist outside of a Christian context. So even for you people who ascribe to other religions or no religion or whatever global Buddhist, Zen, left-handed, cross-dressing, lesbian philosophy you have, realize that the notion of liberty that you have is Christian in philosophy and character, and it did not grow up on this planet outside of that context. That's a historical fact. Understand it. Your salvation is a whole different matter and beyond the scope of this show, but understand the historical context. If you don't, you're in big, big trouble. Now, the fact is that we're upgrading the truth level on this show for a reason. The situation is dire. The hour is late. And the people are confused. And if you're listening to this show, you're one of the few who is becoming unconfused. Does that mean you'll know the whole truth? Does that mean I know the whole truth? Does that mean everything here is perfect and verified and blah, blah, blah? No. A lot of this stuff is rational conjecture based on imperfect knowledge because the truth is being hidden on purpose. They want you to be confused and scared and manipulated without knowing the facts. You know, I don't have all of the facts. I don't have everything verified. But there is a lot of evidence to indicate that Mr. Sotloff, the second American beheaded by ISIS, which is designed to get you all ginned up to go back in there and save Christians and Yazidis and blow up ISIS because they're the worst thing ever since Nazi Germany and we've never seen anything like this and it sprung up all of a sudden, blah, 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 blah. He happened to be the reporter who interviewed 15 of the eyewitnesses at the consulate in Benghazi. 15 eyewitnesses who have since disappeared. And all of a sudden, Brett Baer, host of Neocon Hour with Brett Baer on Fox Noise, has, I'm looking at his mug right now, he kind of looks like a little young Superman there in his jacket. He's got three CIA guys who've written a book. I mean, just do the math, right? a CIA guy writes a book about stuff that no one should know about and he breathes? Really? Do some math. Criminals in action don't operate that way. So I don't know the whole story, but I know that something stinks, and what do you have coming up? You got the Benghazi special prosecutor. Now, I believe Trey Gowdy is a good man. I believe Trey Gowdy is a phenomenal prosecutor. I believe Trey Gowdy is going to try and get as much truth as he can. But the question is, if the eyewitnesses have been disappeared or worse, who's he going to ask? Who is he going to talk to? And haven't they had 2.5 years to scrub it and clean it? And I mean, you know, the IRS magically, you know, loses emails left and right whenever it comes down to something that might possibly even remotely be a smidgen of an impropriety. Do you really think we're going to get to the truth of this? These technocrats and the guys who control them have no respect for your Congress because they have no respect for you. Now, most of your congressional representatives don't deserve your respect. They're a bunch of sellout, pricks, corrupt bastards. But the body is supposed to be the body at the federal level that represents the people, and they have no respect for you, so therefore they have no respect for Congress. That's where we are. That is the reality of the situation. And you're the one that has to fix it. Now, why are they ginning up this whole Benghazi thing now? It's good red meat for the righties. Get you all ginned up because we need the net gain of 6 seats to make the turtle from Kentucky the Senate Majority Leader, who'll fix everything that Harry Reid has screwed up, just the way that little Johnny Boehner has fixed everything that Nancy Pelosi screwed up, right? If you're believing this stuff, you're out of your friggin' mind. It's not going to happen that way. Now, the best thing that you can do in these elections and at the federal level is throw some disruption into the system to slow it down. But the solution is not going to come from your friggin' vote in a rigged election with algorithms inside the computer programs that they use to tally the votes, where the news media reports who won and who lost before the last polls close. Excuse me. That's not going to happen. Now, if it's such an overwhelming number, they can't necessarily fake it. If you think you're going to get those overwhelming numbers, then call in and answer me this. What the heck happened to you in the friggin' 2014 primaries? Your claim to victory, your, we're the Tea Party and we're keeping an eye on you Republicans too. We're the Ron Paul Liberty Movement, and we're going to revolutionize the country. We're the Barry Johnson Libertarians, and we got the right answers. What did you people do? Ben Sasse, that's your claim to fame? Are you effing kidding me? That's what you did? Wake up. Have you formed a committee of safety in your neighborhood? Have you reached out to your neighbors and started building contingency plans for what happens when the electronic system goes down, when the dollar collapses, when unemployment skyrockets, when false flag terrorist attacks or real terrorist attacks happen? Have you made these contingency plans, or are you relying on the good graces of DHS and FEMA, you friggin' pansy slave? And yes, I'm pissed at you for it, because guess what? I live here, and the more you cooperate with this crap, the more of this crap I have to put up with. Stop cooperating with this nonsense. Learn the truth. Is it scary? Yes. Is it dark? Yes. Does it seem completely insane? Yes. Is it hard to believe? Yes. You want to take the blue pill? Just pull a bullet in your head right now. Take the red pill. Open your eyes. Get out of the matrix. And don't think that because you get out of the matrix, somehow you have a monopoly on truth. I've heard the conspiracy nonsense out there from reptilian shapeshifters to, you know, the Pentagon. It's the Rothschilds, the Gettys, the Queen, the Vatican, and Colonel Sanders before he went teats up. Come on. That's insane nonsense. This is very, very simple. There are men who are afraid of you, who desire power, control, and wealth. Some of them conspire together. Others are just fellow travelers. Their interests align. The way that these people control most of your politicians and your media pundits and your corporate heads of captains of industry is either through corruption, coercion, bribery, or simply by finding what is it that this selfish prick is interested in, and let's see how we can give that to him so that he will give us our desired result. If you don't think that's how it works, you're missing out. The danger to these people is always a middle class, what used to be the merchant class. These are people who have a little bit more means, a little bit more industry, a little bit more thrift, and a little bit more gravitas than the poor. And in this country, guess what? The poor could become the middle class. At least that's the way it used to be. And that middle class is more independent. That middle class is more informed, is more educated, is more motivated, is closer to the neighborhood, is the true grassroots, the main street. That class has to be eliminated. So you can have a wide, poor client service slave class and a very small clique of philosopher kings who rule over us for our benefit, of course. And some people want that. Some people are so conditioned, so lazy, so stupid. And when I say stupid, not their capacity to intelligence, but their desire to reach that capacity, to fill their heads with knowledge and skill in order to do something for themselves, would rather have it handed to them. And if it can't be handed to them, they'll try to take it. That's what happens. Human anthropology has not changed since the dawn of civilization, and it isn't going to change. For all you crazies out there who think that somehow we're evolving, the only, quote, evolution we might experience is some kind of manipulated, engineered, genetic messing around. And let me tell you something, no matter how pie in the sky your dreams are, it won't work out well. Now, is it good that we can extend life and ease suffering and all that stuff? That's wonderful. But death is inevitable. And if your life doesn't mean something, why did you live it? If you were only concerned with your genitals and your stomach and your bank account, that's your life? That's what's important to you? Because if that's what's important to you, you're part of the problem. And if that's not what's important to you, and I'm not saying those things aren't important. I'm just saying that if that's the most important, if that's not what's important to you as the highest priority, then you'd better start waking the rest of them up. It is late. It is dangerous. It is scary. It is frightening. But the good news is, if you're a truth seeker, if you are a person who has love in your heart for your brothers and sisters on this planet, then you're a combatant. This life is war. We are at war. There is a battle between good versus evil. Whether you look at that from a practical perspective, a historical perspective, or a spiritual perspective is irrelevant. It's a fact. There's a battle between good and evil. There is no in-between. Pick a side and fight. Now, fighting isn't always violent, but oftentimes it can be. But fighting is always about action. Your speech, your interaction with other human beings, your tweets, your Facebook, your personal conversations, which are the best way to do it. It is all a battle. You are either going to lift somebody up or you are going to push them down. And let me tell you something. Sometimes you lift people up by kicking them in the ass. If you know somebody who's on heroin, addicted to that stuff, if you've seen it, it's horrible. Until they hit rock bottom and realize that they are completely bankrupt, they won't seek help. And sometimes to get them to rock bottom, you have to kick them in the ass. When they come asking for money, you say no. When they want to stay at your place, you say no. They might die, and that would be tragic. But they might also realize that they need help. And if they come to you and they say, help me, get me into a program, get me off this stuff, you've saved a life. And it works like that with the mind war. If you can get somebody to realize they're being lied to by the propaganda from the corporatist media, they're being lied to by the government, that they're being lied to and lying to each other because they buy this bullshit, you may have just saved a life. That's how important this is. You have to do it. No one else is going to. I'm going to close off now, but I'm going to close with this. And I've been doing it a lot lately, and it just seems to be appropriate, and if it bothers you, don't listen to my friggin' show. I'm reading from today's Old Testament reading at Mass. It's from Ezekiel 33, verse 7 through 9. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, a wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Know the truth. Learn the truth. Spread the truth. And don't fall for the lies. You won't always get it right. I won't always get it right. But we can try. And if we try, we just may succeed, or at least die trying. We got four shows of this Empire of Chaos. Watch for them. Sundays at 9, get on our Facebook page, Liberty's Thunder, to make sure if we do any other changes or broadcast times. But we've got Empire of Chaos, War Games, Monopoly Money, and something else I forget. But keep an eye out. We'll be back next Sunday with more of this. In the meantime, realize that as dire as it is, as late as it is, this is the best time to show that clear, stark contrast between darkness and light, between truth and lies, between life and death. And if you heard this show, you are now not exempt from at least investigating that which we have told you, and then taking action. This is Rex and Trog, signing off.
Amen, brother. The thunder of liberty rumbles on.
You win!
The welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right. We cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters. Alexander Hamilton said, a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master, and deserves one. Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement, and this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than dead, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. This is the meaning in the phrase of Barry Goldwater, peace through strength. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. And he said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We will keep in mind and remember that Barry Goldwater has faith in us. He has faith that you and I have the ability and the dignity and the right to make our own decisions and determine our own destiny. Thank you very much.
Trust the Republicans. Let me be clear, I don't trust the Republicans. And I don't trust the Democrats. And I think a whole lot of Americans, likewise, don't trust the Republicans and the Democrats because it is leadership in both parties that has gotten us in this mess.
The establishment will grow more and more hysterical the more powerful Rand Paul and Ted Cruz become. And they will gain strength as it's obvious that they're among the few people willing to raise the right question. And I consistently have been on the side of having the courage that Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have. And I think it's sad to watch the establishment.
There are a lot of D.C. consultants that say there's a choice for Republicans to make. We can either choose to keep our head down, to not rock the boat, to not stand for anything, or we can stand for principle. And they say if you stand for principle, you lose elections. The way to do it, the smart way, the Washington way, is don't stand against Obamacare. Don't stand against the debt ceiling. Don't stand against nothing. I want to tell you something. That is a false dichotomy. You want to lose elections? Stand for nothing. Look at the last four congressional elections, 06, 08, 10, and 12. Three of the four, we followed that strategy. 06, 08, and 12, we put our head down, we stood for nothing, and we got walloped. The one election that was a tremendous election was 2010 when Republicans drew a line in the sand. We said we stand unequivocally against Obamacare, against bankrupting the country, and we won an historic tidal wave of an election. And then, of course, all of us remember President Dole and President McCain and President Romney. Now, look, those are good men. They're decent men. But when you don't stand and draw a clear distinction, when you don't stand for principle, Democrats celebrate.
Well, look, I'm a big fan of Rand Paul's. He and I have fought side by side on fight after fight after fight in the U.S. Senate, and I anticipate we'll continue to fight side by side. He's a terrific voice for liberty.
Imagine a time when the White House is once again occupied by a friend of liberty. And you may think I'm talking about electing Republicans. I'm not. I'm talking about electing lovers of liberty. It isn't good enough to pick the lesser of two evils. We must elect men We must elect men and women of principle and conviction and action who will lead us back to greatness. There is a great and tumultuous battle underway for the future, not of the Republican Party, but the future of the entire country. As our voices rise in protest, the NSA monitors your every phone call. If you have a cell phone, you are under surveillance. I believe what you do on your cell phone is none of their damn business.